This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Many thanks to Dan Bonner, who joined us in hour number one. Jeff Goodman will join us coming up, and Jeff will have some serious takes on ACC hoops, I assure you. But Wes, we were talking off the air yesterday about experience, and maybe more so than ever before this year it comes into play, given there's no home court advantage. We've got the start and stop, all the disruptions that we've had in college hoops. So if you've got guys who have been around the block, some guys with some experience, it really comes into play maybe this year more so than ever before. You always hear coaches talking about wanting to stay old, get old, stay old. That really is important right now.
I think the other thing, too, about it is that we're looking at teams, and Dan just mentioned this, we're looking at teams like Clemson, like NC State. Those two come to mind right away with their experience factors, right? And they're having some success. Georgia Tech has got some experience about it, and we've talked about that before. But there's no real way to qualify it except this one way that I found, and because I subscribe to Ken Pomeroy's site, and I think he does a phenomenal job of talking about efficiency and really, Pack, when you see a team, you know they're good, but really how good are they in the grand scheme, right? How good are they in the grand scheme of the game? How good are they in the grand scheme of your league? And he's got a factor that he compiles based on players that play the minutes, okay? So this is not your roster composition. This is actual minutes played, and what's the experience factor? And it's all done on the class and age of the player, right? So here we go. He created an experience rating. So yesterday I just cobbled together, in order, top to bottom, the ACC experience ratings. Georgia Tech is number 6 in the country and number 1 in the ACC at 2.55. And the next highest is Notre Dame at 2.09. Here's the fun part. We talk about what Florida State lost, and they're still 3rd in the ACC ahead of Boston College. I guess what I'm getting at is I was surprised that teams like Clemson and NC State weren't higher. I thought Georgia Tech would be, but I'm surprised that Clemson and NC State weren't higher given their success, or even to a degree, maybe even somebody like Syracuse, Pack.
Yeah, I if you would have asked me that question, and we did without knowing the answer, I would have been wrong about that, because I would have agreed with you 100%. I would have thought Clemson, NC State would have been much higher on that list as opposed to middle of the road. I'm not surprised with the Duke number. Louisville, of course, they lost so many guys from a year ago, but then you see where they're going. This is one of those – sometimes you can overanalyze stuff, but I do think when we start getting into February and March – the teams with some age are really going to be in a good spot in this league. I really believe that.
Yeah. And it's interesting to look at. Now, just to show you, remember you saw Louisville down at the bottom of this year's rankings? Last season's rankings. Now, just for fun, I went back and put this together to say, okay, how do we know when somebody, you can look at these ratings, and in my case, it'll make your head spin. But at the same time, how do you know? So I went back and cobbled together last year's rankings of teams. Now, you start looking at this, and you start thinking, well, wait a second. Now, this is the second page of last year's rankings. This is like from the middle down. But look who the ACC champion was, and look at their ranking.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Look at these teams that, I mean, Virginia Tech, 064. Duke. Now, remember, Duke's at the bottom this year at 339. Last year, they were 332.
Well, when you live in the one and done era, and you would have to say that Duke and Kentucky are 1 and 1A in that department, you're going to be at the bottom of these lists a lot. That's just the world you're living in right now. And if it turns out you have a year in which the one and done player, that class, doesn't have a Zion, and it's a bunch of good kids, but not necessarily superstars. And again, who knows how that's going to play out yet? We don't know. You could be in a tough spot. Mm-hmm. And, hey, I don't need to tell you where Kentucky is right now coming out of the block. They have been nothing short of awful. And Duke, we just haven't seen them play much. But we still have question marks. So we'll see how all that plays out. I thought Dan Bonner's comment regarding the end of the month in the next year, in the next month, will be interesting with teams like Duke, just to see how that works. And we got to get Kay back on the sideline too. So there's a lot of stuff going on here. I mean, this is a year unlike anything else. With the disruptions, with the pandemic, we don't know what games. We had another Georgia Tech Louisville game got postponed yesterday. So, it's just going to be that way for the duration. Let's just hope we can get to the finish line.
You'll notice Louisville's drop this year is 303 spots from 34th a year ago to 337 this year, to show you just how dynamic the roster change has been for Chris Mack. All right, now just for fun. And again, my eyes weren't going to pop out of my head. We decided to go back and look at historical championship teams of ACC members. Okay. Now Pomeroy's data only goes back into the mid 2000s here, but it does still, give you a little bit of a showcase. So we took, Virginia and Carolina and Duke of the last 6 years, Louisville from 2013, Duke from 2010, Carolina from 2009, as it relates to experience, okay? Now, the interesting part about this is all of the ACC membership is top 15 in ACC ranking. Look at Duke in 2015. Yeah. That might be an outlier pack, but look at 2010 Duke, 2009 North Carolina compared to the 17, 15, and 19 versions of those programs.
Well,
transitional change, wouldn't you say?
Well, I just mentioned Duke in terms of the one and done era. Nothing defines that more than that graphic right there from 2010 Duke to 2015 Duke. College basketball amongst those blue bloods totally changed. And I think once you dive into the one and done swimming pool, you're there to stay. I mean, it's hard to, once you commit to that, to say, all right, now we're going to go get old. How do you do that? I mean, you're losing entire classes in one season. And I'm going to say it again, and I hear it all the time on the afternoon show. Oh, man, Kay and Calipari, all they got to do is roll the ball out. Man, let me tell you something. When you have a brand new team every year and you start talking about developing an identity and chemistry, that is hard to do. That is hard to do when you're saying, hey, I got these guys for 6 months. And now we got to go compete against old teams. You better hope they're incredibly dynamic, well-coached, and all that stuff, because otherwise you can have some tough nights. So I don't think it's as easy as everybody just says, oh, yeah, they got the best players, just roll the ball out. Game's easy. No, it's not, man. In fact, I think it's harder in some respects when you cannot develop guys that become sophomores to juniors, and heaven forbid somebody turns to be a senior in college basketball anymore. So. It's a weird time. It's an interesting time to kind of see the lay of the land. I think it's one of the reasons you see, mid-tier programs who are guys who are juniors and seniors who are grown men at 22 that have been through a program. They've gone through the highs and the lows. Yeah. They've had coachable moments. They've gotten better. They've developed a chemistry. And you've all of a sudden seen teams like that all of a sudden have great runs in the NCAA tournament. To me, in some respects, it's kind of refreshing that people stay around for a junior and senior year again. So, again, everybody's different. There's different ways to have great success. But that is an interesting list, because experience is really going to be a key the rest of this whatever college basketball season looks like.
Mark, doesn't it also, when we look beyond obviously this year, which we all recognize is completely different, but doesn't it also speak to continuity a little bit? We go back to the list from this year, and when you start looking at this year's list, you've got coaches that are established that have said, okay, I may have a one-and-done guy here or there, but you look at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech hasn't had they had Josh Okogie was two and through, right? That's the last guy that's left early from there to go to the NBA. When you start thinking about kind of the way programs are being built, you're fine if you want to try that, but there's something to be said about what Brad Brownell does, a little bit about what Tony Bennett does. Certainly Leonard Hamilton, for all the guys he's had that have maybe been a year and gone, he's also, you know, developed guys all the way through. You know, Notre Dame, Mike Bray, when his teams are at their very best, and again, they're older this year, they're top 100 in experience. But I start thinking about, you got to have some patience too. And I'm thinking, you know, specifically about Clemson, and to a degree, even though it's a little bit less time, what Kevin Keats is trying to do at NC State.
Yeah, totally agree. And that's what I think, again, another one I'll throw in here. I think it just shows you what a great job Chris Mack's doing at Louisville, because they lost everybody and their brother.
Absolutely.
And they're still not 100%. And yet here they are. Mm-hmm. When you take a snapshot of where you think teams are in the conference right now, early January, anybody doesn't have Louisville in the top two or three, you're not paying attention. And yeah, I know Wisconsin destroyed them. But, you know, look at the team that they brought to Madison. They weren't going to win that game anyhow. Mm-hmm. So I think once Louisville gets intact, you better be careful with the Cards. I mean, they're already plenty good to win a bunch of games. But if they can get healthy, they got a shot. They got a shot big picture.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Our next guest is an absolute junkie. And I mean that in all positive sense. He is a basketball junkie.
Yep.
All right. That's the only way to describe Jeff Goodman. Does a great job of the stadium. Outspoken. Will stir the pot. But he knows his stuff. And with that said, let's bring him on. Jeff, good morning. How are we? We doing all right?
I dressed up for you guys and everything.
Well, first of all, I will say you are this is the 294th show that we have done on television. And, of course, it's also simulcasted on SiriusXM 371. But you, I believe, are the first guest who has ever promoted the Pac-12 on ACC Network. I believe you're the first.
So there you go.
I believe you're the first.
You know, I can swap it out. Hold on.
All right, go ahead.
I'll get rid of the cow. I don't even know which one this is.
All right.
Senator or something?
Yeah, Washington Senate. That's not much better, but that's better. Okay. You know, whatever. You know. You know, we'll go with the W because it doesn't matter. We brought you on here for basketball anyhow. So with that said, if I said to you right now, January the 7th, the best team in the ACC is fill in the blank.
The Clemson Tigers. Who else would it be? Brad Brunell and the Clemson Tigers. I never thought I'd be saying that, but I love the fact that I'm saying it because Brad Brunell is one of the better coaches in the game, to be honest, X's and O's. He does it the right way. He doesn't want any fanfare. He's not a self-promoter, none of it. And he's got a team. Listen, I remember a couple years ago sitting at the NCAA tournament in Omaha with Dan Radakovich during Clemson's Sweet 16 run. And he was I tried to kind of push him. Are you giving him an extension? And at first he wouldn't bite, and I kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and he finally said, yeah, we're going to do something at the end of this run. And Brad Brunell was close to being gone, and now he's got a team that I think today, and again, a lot can change, today is the best team in the ACC.
Jeff, what is it that we're learning through this first 5 weeks of what is the most bizarre college basketball season of our lifetime, simply because we don't know for sure who's going to play tomorrow, let alone who's going to play next week. And we don't really know what the NCAA's tried to tell us what the tournament's going to look like. We don't know if that's what it's going to look like. But what have we learned so far? What do you trust?
Well, listen, we've learned that there's a lot of inconsistency. You know, and I'm going through it right now, guys, with how many shutdown – every team. I'm going through every single team around the country. And how many shutdowns have you had since November 25th, since the season started? And the one league that seems to be doing the best job of not having pauses is the Big Ten. First one right now, Penn State. Every other team has been pretty much flawless. Why? Because they've been able to test every single day. So I think that gives them a little bit of an advantage. And that's where we're at right now. Look at Duke last night. 3 weeks off, right? 3 weeks off and you're coming back. BC caught him at the right time. They didn't beat him, but they caught him at the right time without Kay, 3 weeks off. So I think timing is everything, and that's when you look ultimately and eventually with the NCAA tournament selection committee, how do you figure this thing out? I mean, it's really difficult right now. To me, there's three really, maybe four right now. I guess you might have to say four great teams. I'm hesitant to put Texas in that group, but you've got Gonzaga, Baylor, and to me, Villanova. And I think they're in a separate class, and I think they're in a separate class going into the season. ACC, throw them in a hat right now. Throw them in a hat, and it's going to be all about timing and who's healthy.
All right, let me go blue blood with you, traditional blue blood with the ACC. Yeah. And I want you to kind of crystal ball what you think you're going to get with Duke, Virginia, North Carolina, and I'll even throw Syracuse after somehow they lost that game yesterday up 11-0 and can't lose that game at home. Not to that Pitt team playing with one hand tied behind their back. So I'll throw Syracuse in there as a blue blood. But those four, Duke, Virginia, North Carolina, Syracuse, what do you think you're going to see by the time we get to February, March with those four?
I mean, they're all going to get better, right? I mean, you look at Duke, and they need Jalen Johnson back, and they need a engaged Jalen Johnson, not just Jalen Johnson. Mm-hmm. They need him bought in. And I know there's that foot injury and everything like that, but there's some other things going on behind the scenes there, guys, with Jalen Johnson and the coaching staff. So he's got to come back and be bought in. But I think ultimately Wendell Moore, that's a huge game for him last night. Matthew Hurt's been very, very good on the offensive end. So if they can get good point guard play as well from their freshman Jeremy Roach, I think Duke's going to get better. We know that. Are they going to be a Final Four team? I don't know, but I think they're going to continuously get better. I like Carolina. I do. I like them because they've got bigs, and that's what Roy wants. And they've got young guards. The one thing they're missing, and I said this from the day they missed out on Zaire Williams, who went to Stanford, is a big, long wing who can just go get one. Like Leaky Black, he's made some big plays lately, but that's not his game. Like, that's the one thing they're missing, but the young guards are going to get better. So, again, they're going to get better. Virginia, you know, I saw them in the bubble, the only 4 days of basketball that I've seen in person, and walked away, again, just like they're good, but they're not great defensively. And if they're not making shots, and Hauser's not making shots, and Jay Huff isn't making shots, they're just, to me, talent-wise, they're just okay. Now, again, they've got Tony Bennett, who I think is a top five coach in America. So I'm not writing them off. And again, they've had a little bit of a pause as well. So all three of them are going to get better. I thought Syracuse, honestly, guys, might have been the best of the four today until last night. I was absolutely shocked. I mean, Quincy Gary was playing great basketball. You've obviously got Buddy Boeheim who's shooting it well. Joe Girard, they've got talent. Like, they've got more talent than they've had in the last couple of years overall. But that loss last night, just absolutely shocking. You can't lose to Pitt, like you said, at home, a shorthanded Pitt team.
Well, Jeff, here's the other thing, too, and you wouldn't be the first to confirm or deny this, but the home court advantage, the environments in which these things are being played, David Johnson admitted to us on the show the other day, it's like just another AAU tournament. I mean, really? You show up, you basically get the pipe in crowd noise. I mean, it's like when your summer tour takes you to Augusta and you go to the Peach Jam. That's essentially what this has become in a weird way.
Even less. I mean, Peach Jam, you got 100 coaches watching you. So these kids are looking over and they're seeing all these guys that are evaluating. You're right. You got to bring your own energy. It's interesting because I've talked to a lot of guys, coaches and players, about the home court advantage and how important it is. Some say it's still important because you're familiar with your surroundings. So it's going to be an advantage. Other people are saying, hey, it's really not an advantage at all. So I don't know how important it is ultimately, but I think the bottom line is these kids have so many things to worry about right now. Every day they're worried about taking the test and passing it. Every day they're worried about not putting themselves in situations where they're going to let down their teammates. So I think this is obviously a very trying year, and it's more than about just talent. Like, talent to me only goes so far this year. I think chemistry. I talked to Drake coach Darian DeVries yesterday, and they're undefeated. They're 13-0, and he said a big reason why is because half his team grew up playing together, went off in their own separate places, came back as transfers, and their chemistry is off the charts. And I think that's a big part, as well as experience. Again, the top teams, all of them, including Texas, like I said, you know, Baylor, Gonzaga, Villanova, Texas, they all returned their pretty much their team. I mean, there's a reason. Kentucky's not good. I get it. They're not good, and Duke wasn't great to start the year. But they're young, and they didn't have the summer for the most part.
Louisville and Florida State, at the end of the day in the regular season, crystal ball this one again. When I say the top three teams in the ACC, Louisville and Florida State both in the list, neither in the list, maybe just one in the list.
Well, I think it ultimately depends for Louisville on Malik Williams. You know, if he gets back, when he gets back, and if he's able to pick up where he left off. I mean, I'm kind of amazed that Chris Mack's being able to do this as shorthanded as he's been able to do it. No Malik Williams, no Charles Mindland, the transfer from USF. You know, Carlique was out. Obviously, we saw what they are without Carlique against Wisconsin. They lost by about 100. But they've only got a few dudes. And Samuel Williamson hasn't been what I thought he'd be. So I think it fully depends. I think they're honestly a, you know, 10 seed. If they don't get Malik Williams back, I really believe that. You know, somewhere in that 8, 9, 10 seed. Florida State, I mean, listen, we're automatically just putting Leonard in there every year now, right? We're saying no matter what you lost, Leonard and Florida State, we're throwing you in there because of what you've done the last 5 years. But listen, they lost two lottery picks. I mean, we can't forget that. They lost two really good players. And as much as I love Scotty Barnes, he's a guy who doesn't impact the game from a shooting standpoint. And I think as the book on him continues to grow, opposing teams are going to be able to scout him and just dare him to take that shot from the perimeter. I love Scotty Barnes. I think he's a terrific player, but he's got to be able to make that perimeter shot to keep defenses honest.
All right, so how do you answer the question, though? By the time we get to March, and I'm going to give you that Louisville gets whole and healthy.
Yep.
Do you think both of them or just one of them? Or maybe you tell me. What do you think? Top three for
those two? I think Louisville's a tournament team. I think Florida State. I mean, I think the ACC is going to get what? You know, well, it depends. I mean, we're giving the whole Big Ten bids. That's what they want right now. They want the entire Big Ten bid. You know, seriously, we're going to listen to Tom Izzo soon. In a week, he's going to try telling us that every Big Ten team deserves a bid, including the bracket.
Well, guaranteed. I don't know if it'll be all, but I'll tell you what, their league is really, really good. And they're talented.
Good. Listen,
they're talented.
It's good. The only thing I'll say, again, as I just said, the elite teams are coming from Gonzaga, Baylor, some of these other leagues. I think the ACC and the Big Ten right now have a lot of the same.
All right. That's interesting take.
I want to hear Izzo tell me about Nebraska. I want to hear Izzo tell me Nebraska gets in the tournament. That's my favorite. I want to hear that. I want to hear more about that down the line.
Here's what I'd tell you. And we're getting ready to do a segment after we say goodbye to you, figuring out the glob. Last year, the glob in the ACC was in the middle. I think the glob has now moved to the top because – we don't know who the alpha dog is. That's why the first question to you is, right now, today, this second, the best team in the ACC is, you said Clemson. You know what? You can make a case without question. But I don't know who is going to emerge as the guy in this league. I don't know if this league right now has somebody you can say, 2 months from now, I think they're a top 10 team. I don't know who that is, if anybody. So, you know, it's kind of hard to figure that thing out. So there's our main Goodman.
Froze.
We got this Charleston, South Carolina sweatshirt on, which he loves, Charleston, freezing to death up there. But he's always great.
Yeah, Goodman, lost him on a freeze.
Yeah, right. But Goodman is, like I said, he is a basketball junkie, man. He knows his stuff. But his takes are always interesting, make you think.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
You got something down there in Cartersville West? You excited about something?
I'm working. I just want you to know that I'm finalizing glob notes right here. I'm making some glob notes because I can't believe we're going to do this again.
Yeah.
and we're going to do it, and we're going to do it at the top, which is just going to be we're going to live to regret this. I'm just absolutely going to start by saying that.
I mean, let's pretend like
we... In fact, you know what I need? I got to have my... I got to get my second cup of coffee over here real quick to
you do that. Miss Vicky will take good care of you on that. Yeah, we're going to do this, and we'll look like fools, and that's okay. It wouldn't be the first time that's ever happened.
Okay.
But before we get cranked up with the glob, though, let's take a quick phone call. 844-SAY-ACCN. Curtis in Virginia has been holding patiently. Curtis, good morning. How are you? Interesting point. What happened to Curtis? Where did my man Curtis go?
I don't know. I don't know.
We'll get to Curtis. We'll work on the phone issues.
We'll go back to Curtis.
We'll get that straightened out. All right, let's go to Glob. Last year, it was about the middle, right? Every stinking night, you just thought you had it figured out that Team X was getting the job done, turned the corner, and they'd lay an egg, and you'd move them down the bottom. The middle was a crazy, crazy scene. Now, again, Josh Pastner takes credit. They won the Glob last year. So this year, it's a little different. The Glob, I think, Wes, has moved from the middle to the top. Now, I know Jeff Goodman just said he thinks Clemson right now today is the best team in the ACC. Well, I mean, the Tigers have certainly made a case. Hokies have played great. Louisville's doing their thing. There's other teams, NC State, playing good basketball, too. I don't know if we have an alpha in the mix. Now, if you look at the rankings, if you're into that, whether it be the net, whether it be the AP poll, ACC doesn't have a top 10 team, which is highly unusual. Highly unusual. It's really more kind of fringe top 15 for the most part. So I think the bigger question right now, Wes, for all of us as ACC basketball fans, who are the dudes, right? Who are the guys? Who's the alpha? I mean, again, I think you could probably go 5, 6, maybe 7 teams here in which really have a chance to take ownership to be the best team in the league. That's crazy, I know, but I think that's where we are.
I don't disagree with that, and I think right now the list of 5 or 6 is probably fair. And I think you go to the top of the order and take Louisville because they're undefeated and 3-0 in the league, okay? So we're going to give Louisville their props right here after a nice win last night over Virginia Tech. So you're going to put Louisville at the top of that list. You're also probably going to put Virginia Tech and Clemson at the top of that list because even though the Hokies lost last night, they're still 2-1 and 8-2 overall. You're going to put Clemson on that list. They're 3-1 after the win against NC State, 9-1 overall. What to do about Virginia at 2-0? What to do about Duke at 2-0? Syracuse is 1-1. Does that put them in a group with NC State, or do you put NC State ahead of Syracuse? Finding out the glob, you have to determine how many members are in the glob before you start sorting it out, Pack.
I would put Florida State in that conversation before I'd put Syracuse. And like I said, you can't lose at home to Pitt. Syracuse, again, if it's chalk – biggest word in sports is if. Had they won that game yesterday, I thought they were in good shape, up 11 zip at home. Syracuse has kind of intrigued us. Florida State, to me, I don't think you could ever dismiss Leonard Hamilton's guys. And, you know, they're 1-1, though. I know, but you know what? They lost at Clemson. That was a game they were winning. Tigers, to their credit, took care of business down the stretch and won a close game. I'm not going to dismiss Florida State. No way. They've built up enough DNA and championship form and ACC form. You put them in there. You know, we haven't mentioned North Carolina. Jeff Goodman said of those 4 blue blood questions, he liked North Carolina. And I know they get Clemson this weekend at home in Chapel Hill, and the Heels have found a way to win 2 really tight games and maybe find some momentum there. So my point is we've already rattled off 7 or 8 teams, and They all have flaws, but there's upside where you go, well, they could be the team. And that's why this is the glob, right? The alpha. Who is the alpha dog in the ACC?
All right. Now, here's what I'm willing to ask you. And I know it's early. It's January the 7th, for heaven's sakes. Okay, I'm going to roll off a list of schools. And you're going to tell me glob or not, okay? Yeah. That's way we're going to do this to evaluate at least early.
Is this as of now or projected?
This is as of today.
All right.
Today, are we putting these schools in the glob?
Go for it.
All right. It might be easier to read the list of schools we won't put in the glob as opposed to the ones we are going to put in the glob.
You give me your list and I'll give you a yay or a nay.
All right. Louisville.
Yes.
Virginia Tech.
Yes.
Clemson.
Yes.
Virginia.
Yes.
Duke.
No.
Oh. Syracuse.
No.
This Florida is- State.
Yes.
Okay. NC State.
Yes.
Georgia Tech.
Defender of the glob? No.
North Carolina?
No.
Pittsburgh?
No.
Okay.
Now, ask me this question one week from today, and I promise you there are changes.
No. All right, hold on. Because they are winless in the league, I'm going to guess that Wake Forest, Notre Dame, Boston College, and Miami are not glob eligible at this point.
No to the fourth power.
Okay. So that's the four winless schools, Wake, Notre Dame, BC, and Miami, not eligible.
As of today.
For glob.
As of today.
Okay. So on the glob right now in Mark Packer's world, we have Louisville, Virginia Tech, Clemson, Virginia, Florida State, NC State.
Right. Not Duke, not North Carolina. Listen.
Not Duke at 2-0.
Duke has beaten Coppin State, Ballerina. I wasn't overly impressed with them last night against Boston College. Their best player isn't on the roster right now. They got destroyed by two teams with a pulse. So, no, the answer is no to Duke. Now, it doesn't mean they can't get there. That's why I asked, are we saying this as of January the 7th? The answer is no to Duke. No to Duke. Sorry. I know
you're
great.
When do you think Coach K is coming on the show to tell you about your job?
He makes fun of me all the time. So, that means nothing to me. I'm used to it. And this isn't personal. It's just what I have seen. That doesn't mean that if you ask me this question next week, I'm liable to kick two on and two off or whatever the comment. This thing is going to change just like last year in the glob. It will always change. Nothing stays the same.
Okay. I'm just going to share this with you. If we'd have reversed the table and you'd ask me these questions,
okay,
I'd have the six schools you put in the glob plus five more.
Oh, so you'd have 11. I mean,
yeah,
you'd have 11 teams that you think can win the league. Be the alpha. Please, come on. 11?
I think you've got at least one or two off the glob that are capable of winning the glob for sure.
I get that. But as of you asked, that's why I asked the question. As of January the 7th, if you watched Duke and Boston College last night and I said to you, hey,
I did,
one of these two teams is the best team in the league, you'd laugh in my face. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful.
Yeah, because the best team in the league wasn't on the floor in that game last night.
All right. You got it. You got it.
No.
So that's why neither one are in the
glob.
So
today, January 7th, every Thursday, we will update the glob. How's that?
Okay. And it will change. Believe me, it's going to change.
This is going to be worse than accounting.
Oh, it's going to be a disaster. That's why we're doing it. Because people are going to be able to really kind of mock us. Because, well, you guys don't know it. That's right. Nobody knows anything. But we're going to be the first ones to tell you we don't know anything. So that's what it is. You know, and again, I could have put Syracuse in there, but you can't lose at home to Pitt with what Pitt showed up with last night and spots you 11-point lead. You know, I just need to see more of Duke. And I was iffy with Virginia in the glob, to be honest with you. I mean, I just trust Tony Bennett, and I think they've got some pieces that I'm more trustworthy with because of experience.
All right, let me point out a couple things here long-term globbiness, right? Let's start with Virginia Tech. Okay, for all the things you like about Virginia Tech, and there's plenty to like, the Hokies off to a great start, competitive, tough loss last night. I got to go back to some notes we had when we released the original ACC schedule, and while some of that has changed in the revision that was announced, here's kind of where we are. Now, you remember that we've got several games. We've already had 10 postponements, but here's the thing to remember about the Hokies. Coming up next month in a stretch of 14 days, they're going to play Florida State, Louisville, at North Carolina, at Florida State, and Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
There you go.
If you lose a bunch of games, you'll be out of the glob. Pretty simple.
Yeah. So that's Virginia Tech. Now, if you want to study long-term globbiness, the ability to stick around, you might want to look at Clemson. Yep. Why? Tigers are pretty good at home. In fact, they've been outstanding under Brad Brownell, not only this year, but last year. Six of their last nine games are at home. You look at the stretch they've just had here, where last weekend they won at Miami, midweek NC State, Saturday Chapel Hill. That's a pretty good little stretch for Clemson, where you're able to get some wins and piece that stuff together. Now, remember, they lost the ACC opener on the road at Virginia Tech behind the Alabama game inside 48 hours. All I'm getting at is Clemson's hard work, heavy lifting, their home court success leads you to believe at the back end they could make the last move. The other one to think about in that light is Virginia. And while you look at the Cavaliers, and Pac's got them on his glob right now, Virginia is a school who needs to take advantage of the home court situation, because six of the last 10 in the Cavaliers schedule are on the road. Yep. And it's like real road games.
Yep. I suspect that the list I just gave you will switch up. Literally, there'll be two or three teams literally on and off on a weekly basis. That's why it's the glob. You just don't know. Yep. And every time you think you've got somebody figured out, they'll give you a game in which you go, yikes, who are those guys? I don't think they've ever played the game before. Mm-hmm. And now you got games coming up this weekend. I'm like, Clemson, North Carolina, to me, is a perfect example. That, you know, North Carolina wins that game. And it's kind of weird we're saying that. North Carolina beat Clemson at home. Can you believe we're saying that? It changes the whole landscape. That's three straight wins in a row, if that's the case for North Carolina. And for Clemson, hey, you got to go win a game on the road and figure that thing out too. Everybody's going to be pretty good at home. So this is going to change like nobody's business. And nobody, and let me emphasize, nobody has taken ownership at the top. And that's why this is a project that we're going to address. And look, again, look foolish probably trying to figure this thing out ahead of time. But nobody's been dominant enough at home or on the road. You say, hey, without question, that's the best team in the ACC. Could be Louisville. Could be Clemson. Right. Could be Virginia Tech. Could be NC State. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday. We talked a lot of hoops today, a little football, but there is some football awards to be presented tonight, Wes, and the ACC will be certainly well represented.
Absolutely right. The show, by the way, is at 7 o'clock tonight on ESPN. And you got Trevor Lawrence, of course, up for a couple of awards, the Maxwell and also the Davey O'Brien. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa is a finalist for the Chuck Bednarik Award. Travis Etienne on the Doak Walker list. Liam Eichenberg, a finalist for the Outland Trophy. We got a pair of Ray Guy finalists. Presley Harvin trying to become the second Georgia Tech player to win the Ray Guy Award. Lou Headley, the Aussie, on there from Miami. And Jose Bordegales is a finalist for the Lou Groza Award. I will say this, Presley Harvin, who I really want to have on the show, fascinating guy to talk to, is a unanimous All-America selection pack. Just double-checking with Mike Flynn at Georgia Tech the other day, when you reach consensus and you get to them all the majors, he's been on all the major lists by my count. I got to double check with Mike on that. But Presley Harvin, a finalist for the Ray Guy Award, has been the first team All-America punter on just anybody who will name this. And rightly so, averaged 48 yards a punt. this year for Georgia Tech.
You know, it's
crazy.
It's funny. He's terrific as a punter, but I still remember every time I see him, I still remember the game you did with the Georgia Tech Miami game last year, 2019,
yeah.
The pass. It's the first thing that always pops in my head when I see him. And like you said, he's an All-American punter. But the throw, though, was pure. I mean, that was a just spot on, right on the money.
Yeah. So anyway, Presley Harvin, one of the finalists tonight. The other one, Liam Eichenberg in the Outland Trophy pack is one that I'm going to keep a close watch on. That's a competitive sucker now this year, that joker. I mean, that award's got some major players as finalists.
Well, listen, all these guys are great players, and hopefully they have terrific NFL careers and all that good stuff. And it'd be nice to see the ACC get some recognition with the individual awards. I know we still got that bowl thing in the back of our head at the Ofer, and again, long, you know, out of sight, out of mind. But the league had a terrific year. I'm going to say it again. I know the bowl stunk, but big picture, it was nice. It's a good year. Good year to build on.
Yep, absolutely right. So 7 o'clock tonight on ESPN, the kind of college football awards show. Look forward to that. And we'll have some winners tomorrow on this show.
By the way,
how about that for a tease?
That'd be great. But when does, and I'm speaking on a turn here because I don't know, when does Notre Dame alert everyone if they're in or out? is there, and I don't mean to be a jerk about this, but is there like a drop dead date? Is there like, I mean, everybody's opting out. We got folks saying we're in the transfer portal. We got folks saying I'm not coming back.
Will there be a video on social media? Is that what you're thinking?
Is this a 10:05 with a golden dome and thumbs up or a thumbs down? I mean, listen, I don't think they're coming back for football. It'd be my gut reaction. But is there like a date? Have we agreed to, hey, before Valentine's Day? I mean, how does that work? I'm just curious. Do you know, Wes?
Huh? I do not know.
I mean, is there like,
I do not know.
I'm Catholic, and when there's a new pope, we got the smoke coming out of the Vatican. Do we do something like that? I mean,
my
I don't.
Gosh. See,
I,
really? No. I, no, 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 no. We're not going there.
Do we have smoke coming out of Lexington barbecue that, hey, if the smoke is gray, Notre Dame is coming back for another year of barbecue and sweet tea and hush puppies. Right. And, I mean, I don't
know.
Okay,
Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to table all of that. We're going to table that segment right there. And we're gonna go to a break here in the Power Hour is coming up next.
All you had to do is say you don't
Horton
know.
Will join us.
All you had to say is I don't know.
And I said that early, and you kept going. You kept going when I said I don't know.
One
and
plus
you,
two
you decided
is three.
To bring up
plus two is five.
Stop it! Don't
plus
even go there. Don't even
eight.
Go there.
Plus
not
four
fair.
Is 12.
Not
plus
even fair.
Nine is 20.
We got to take a break.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.